The show that we want to present, called For Mature Adults Only, is really just that. Something that teenagers are saying to adults and to everyone. What is their own honest cry, their word, their anguish, their pain, their love, their excitement. I've been to a lot of places where we've had rallies and conventions, and most of the time people are telling a teenager what to do, the young person, instead of listening to what he has to say. And so tonight, you're asked to listen to them. And my role is just that, to be a listener with you. And if you want to listen, really want to listen to the kids today, you'd better be mature. Shall we go?
Help me to love as you love, without being empty, and lonely and torn.
Slapping it.
were and are, between what's real and unreal, between molecules and music, between corpuscles and color, between me and my world and all the worlds I thought were separate, where all the barriers have fallen.
And I thought to myself, what is real in this world? This psychedelic world where everything is changing. What does it mean that Christ is changing everything? Not just a few in church, but everything. And that he is more than all the real we think we know.
Thank you.
She sat at her window in the darkness at 4 o'clock in the morning. And the cry she cries echoes in many hearts, maybe in yours and maybe in mine.
Am I alone, God? Alone in this black silence that surrounds me and lives inside of me? Am I? I hate the thick darkness that swells and swells inside of me when I am alone. Am I alone, God? I feel like a shriveled hand clutching at the air, like a torn arm twisting in the sand, like a heavy, bloated heart. I sit and stew about my failures, my self-pity, my injured pride, my weaknesses, and my guilt. But I am choking, God, choking in my own sour thoughts, sour feelings about yesterday. I keep dredging them from the past as if they were important. They blind my brain like clots of blood. Why? God, why? I yell inside my empty cave and my answer is an echo. An echo of cold words and cold pain. My words have no meaning and my mouth is dry. My cave is black and damp and dark. The sun is hollow, crawling around an empty circle like a dizzy crab. And the world is hollow, distant, and cold, and hollow. All I ask is one person, God, one ear that will not close no matter what I say, one hand that will not let me choke or draw away. One heart that will not turn me off, no matter how I act. Someone. Lord, give me someone like that, and I can stand the dark. I think. Or is there yet another way to find the light and love the day?
Those people, those alien people, and you cry.
Everyone likes Judy because she's a clown. I like her. Couldn't help liking her. But someone forgot to turn off the laughter switch inside of Judy. And sometimes she will pop in all directions. She'll turn on without warning. She'll pop in all directions like corn bursting out of a bowl. Judy loved life, but she was a clown. And that meant pain. Some of the joy and some of the pain of Judy the clown comes through in her delightful little song.
Do you know what it's like to be a clown? Do you know what it's like to suffer from too many laughs? Do you know what it's like for a girl to be born a circus act? Do you know what it's like to have a funny bone or a brain? Do you? I don't have any makeup on my face, but I wear a mask. I have a feeling it's not it never changes.
Those targets were really sin would mean breaking people instead of breaking rules. Sin would mean breaking up with God instead of breaking his laws. Sin would be personal and cruel and wrong. Lord, why can't someone tell me what sin is all about?
Children free.
Poland, with all of his faculty, knows very well that pastors and preachers and professors are very necessary in the church, and so we decided that it just simply
Listen, fella, you've been wrapping up here all night, and I think it's about time somebody else starts speaking. Seminary props. They read a little Old Testament, they know a little bit about Jeremiah, write a few books, and they think they got the whole world wrapped up. Listen, though, I think it's time that I start speaking. John was a friend of mine, and he worked with a preaching machine. I think it has a little bit to be said about it.
I think it would be very nice if you stopped simply interrupting the show with all that palaver on here. It's just simply out of place in the whole village. It's quite out of place.
You should talk. Now, who do you want to hear? You know, today, the church is in real trouble, a lot of trouble. Why? Because the church is run by preachers. And where do preachers come from?
Seminaries.
You guessed it. Seminaries. And they're taught by seminary props. Can you imagine? All preachers come from people like that. Now, my idea, and John's idea, is that preachers can be replaced by machines. Machines. Machines who wouldn't make mistakes, who'd never goof up, who'd be there every Sunday on time, who'd give a thrilling sermon every time they gave a sermon. Preaching machines. Can you imagine the church being revitalized by machines? Never having to worry about calls, you buy a machine, he's there forever. Beautiful. You know, I think we should really build preaching machines. I mean, why don't we use preaching machines? Why? Why don't we use a preaching machine to give us the word and spell out the theme, to rattle off answers, to make our faith rich, while chanting a prayer with a moving pitch? A preaching machine, a preaching machine.
Work.
Hey man, you don't look for work dressed like that. Every Everybody knows at home and village you gotta wear work clothes.
I'm not an ordinary robot. I'm a reverend robot.
A real live preaching machine! A preaching machine! Funny you came to the right place. I've just been telling all these nature nuts out here that that's exactly what the church needs to get out of time, to get with it. Man, you stick with me and we'll prove to all these folks that preaching machines are exactly what the church needs. Where do you come from, anyway?
I come from the tailing piles.
Man, that's wild. I live up there, too. That's why the clothes. By the way, what were you doing up by the tailing piles?
I was making myself.
You were what?
I was making myself.
You actually made yourself? He made himself! Can you imagine that? How?
Number one, with the plans I got secretly from St. Louis. And number two, with the theology I got from St. Louis.
Say, you mean you did it with that screwdriver? If so, well, how come you're still carrying it around with you?
I do my own repairs.
He does his own repairs! That's wild, man. Say, how much would it cost, say, the average congregation to maintain you?
It would cost about as much as the average pastoral family of 12 or 14. Like Carol Hinderly.
That's wild. That's completely out of it. You know what? We can prove to all these people that preaching machines are exactly what the church needs. Can you imagine? Factories instead of seminaries. Factories taking over.
Beep, 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 beep,
roaming around here.
Oh. Yeah, St. Louis. Now listen here, you big buck folks. You better settle down and do exactly what I tell you, or you won't get your job, and I won't prove my point. You understand? Well, anyway, now we'll prove exactly how much better preaching machines are than preachers. I'm sure. Let's look at all the things a preacher does in his average lifetime. Like, for instance, preachers preach, right? Right. Let's tune in on one of Rev's sermons.
sorely fail. Indeed, we should always.
Well, I admit it. He won't raise you out of your pews with hallelujahs, but you gotta admit that he ain't a heretic.
Of course I'm not a heretic. I have severed my unbiblical cord.
You had a little touch of Rosenauer in you.
What preachers do other things besides preach? For instance, every preacher has also got to be a teacher, right?
Right!
Well, let's listen to one of Greg's confirmation classes as he discusses the Ten Commandments.
Thou shalt prove. Thou shalt take soundness.
Oh, man, that isn't one of the ten.
No, but in a few years, it will be big.
Well, preachers also have to perform many ceremonies, right?
Ceremony. I'm sure this is going to be very beautiful and sentimental.
Look at that look on his face, will you? Can you imagine kneeling right down in front of him? Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
I now pronounce.
He's got all the words right.
Man,
he can say them right.
Man. You man, you man, and wife, and wife, and wife, and...
Well, new morality marriages aren't going to be very big in the next few years anyway.
You've been listening to John Cooper again.
Well, one of the things every preacher has got to do is when somebody comes and asks a question, they've got to be able to answer it. Now, every preacher today answers questions. I mean, they always have a ready answer ready. And it's not always the right one, but they've got an answer.
Now, with machines, on the other hand, we can make sure that every answer was a correct one. Program in all the knowledge of the church. We'll get Professor Bain to help, and we'll get everything down that's ever happened in all of church history. And he'll always have the right answer. Oh, you want to answer some questions, Rev? We'll show these folks. Rev? Rev? You want to answer some questions?
Man, you turned me off.
Small technicality with machines.
Man, you turn me on.
How about answering some questions?
Okay, sock it to me.
All right, anybody got any questions? Questions? Yeah, go ahead.
Pope's view on
marriage.
What do you think about Cooper's Christian atheism?
Cool question.
Bishop Pike was theology. Do you agree with it?
What do you think of the death of God? Got any personal feelings about sex?
Hey, Brad! Hey, what are you doing?
I cannot answer those questions. I'm a failure. I must take the only way out.
What are you gonna do?
I'm going to short circuit myself.
Oh, no.
To death.
Thank you.
I remember Jane sitting at the bedside of her dying mother. She was a frail girl with cloudy eyes and pale lips. The light would flicker through the window, and she stared across the littered rooftops and the twisted TV aerials that pierced the sky. She hardly noticed me as I sat beside her and watched her stroke her mother's withered hands and the cold white face. At that moment, her mind was solid and sensitive. A little girl reaching out into the solid world. And Jan's secret was captured in her soul.
Thank you.
red-faced boy with lazy hair, and a slow smile, and rapid pimples on his neck. Tim and Mary discovered each other one night, coming home from school. That summer they would meet very often in the park, and sometimes they would sit for hours beside a small lake. But before the break came, and Mary was stolen by another boy, a boy who was taller and stronger than Tim. And Tim, well, he was honest enough on one occasion to confess his feelings to God, at least.
I feel hurt, Lauren. Hurt and broken. She doesn't meet me anymore. She doesn't wait for me beside the lake. She doesn't come because she's in love with some other guy. Well, she thinks she is. Well, he can have her to himself for all I care. But I do care. Lauren, I can't tell her that now. I can't even speak to her or sit beside her at the water's edge. Once it was a thrill to talk to her, to touch her and show her off to my friends. I felt so lucky and so proud. And we made promises, secret promises. But she broke them. That other guy, he made her break them. I wish he were dead. I wish he wouldn't have come to our school. I hate him. I know I shouldn't feel that way, but I hate to lose everything. He made a fool out of me. He made me look like a little kid instead of a man. Oh, if I would have only dropped her first, I wouldn't have looked so weak. Lord, I was in love with Mary. So in love. Do you know what it is like, God, to love someone and to lose the person you love? Do you know how I feel? But no one must know, no one. I pretend I'm not hurt. I can't tell the other guys, they just laugh at me. Everyone likes to laugh, as long as it's not their head that's being chopped off. Are you laughing at me, Lauren? Do you think I'm a silly kid? My father laughed at me when I told him. He didn't try to understand. No one tries to understand. No one. Before I'm too old and too broken to love again, the way I love Mary.
Before the shadows die, I waited.
shell had full lips and long silver lashes that fell over her moist eyes. The shell was made for boys to look at, beautiful and slim and lovely. She was formed like a woman, but really she was only 16 and very, very shy. Michelle's feelings are reflected in her frightened prayer to God.
Lord God, I pretend to know all about sex because my friends expect me to know, and because I look like a woman. I laugh when the other girls laugh about kissing and petting. I pretend to know, Lord, but I'm scared. I'm scared of sex. Sex is always sex, like a beautiful leopard crouching inside of me. Like a leopard, smooth and fascinating and anxious and graceful and purring and growling and roaring and dangerous and oh, so beautiful. I feel excited when I wear a slim dress and my hair shines. I feel excited when boys look at me or dance close to me. I like to know they notice me and watch my face and length. But I'm scared. I feel like flying when my boyfriend kisses me gently on my lips or my eyelids or my neck. Sex seems to be everywhere, filling everyone I meet. Sex is in their minds, in their hearts, in their words, in their clothes, in their walk. And it's always there in me. Like a leopard. A beautiful, dangerous leopard. My Lord, I'm scared. I want to hide and cover myself with everyone, but I cannot. God, you made me this way. Give me the power to handle the powers inside of me. Give me the strength to love without being swallowed by sex. Help me. Accept me. Love me as I am, Lord. Please love me now.
Sure.
David. David was a clumsy kid with a lumpy sort of face, was always looking dirty. And David was always bothering people. The teacher was always yelling at him for something. His parents yelled at him, his friends yelled at him, in fact, everybody yelled at him. No one ever listened to David because, well, he was just David, bothersome David. But David wasn't really a fool, and he knew how others treated him and felt about him. And deep inside, these are his feelings of faith. No one pays any attention to me, Lord, or what I say. I'm nobody, I guess. I haven't done anything important or won anything. No one ever listens or asks my opinion. I guess I'm no one. I'm just there like a window or a chair. I tried to build a boat once, but, well, it fell apart. I tried to make the baseball team, but I always seem to throw past third base. I tried after the school play, but somehow I always laugh when I read my lines. I seem to fail at everything. I don't try anymore because, well, no one likes to fail all the time. I wish there was something I could do. Just something. Something I could make. Something that was all mine. And people would say, David did that. Or my parents would say, be proud of you, son. But I can't do anything. Everyone seems to be so much better at everything than I am. And every time I fail, it eats away at me till I feel sick inside. The world seems to be full of important people and idols. People who are so much more important than I am. Lord, where are all the failures? Where are people like me? Do you know how I feel, Lord? Did you ever fail? Lord, do you know what it's like? When everyone looks up and says, he's a failure. Take a look at that man who is standing up there, that broken young man with the blood in his hair, and tell me, young man, as you slowly walk by, do you know what it's like when the innocent die? Can you feel for this man? Can you identify with a man, with a fool, with a failure?
die by some rough Roman man. He was scorned by the world that was watching that day. And his life seemed to fade as he cried out to God, just why did you leave me this way?
Take a look at that man who is standing up there, that broken young man with the blood in his hair.
Moon was a man made of clay. God made all of us just that way. Now just because he's a little different from white doesn't mean he's wrong and we are right. They made the Negro for everything, for apartments, when rats, for dogs in the garbage.
Thank you.
of Holland and has captured something of the spirit of Holland. And we would like to perform in public for the first time a song which Bob Lindstrom and I wrote in his honor. And it's a song of the kid not just telling his parents now what he feels, but sort of asking, what's the thing in you meant for me? What's that one thing that counts?
Laugh me a song, sing me a song, I must go out on the road people long. Play me the chords that are deep in your soul. Play me that song that can make a man whole. Flow me your joy, throw me your joy. I must go out on the road as a boy. Give me the music that turns your love on. Slip me a secret before I am gone. Trust me your love, trust me your love. I must go searching below and above. Show me the corner of you that is you. Tell me what makes your laugh worthy and true. Open your dreams, dream me your dreams. I must go play in a land full of games. Tell me the vision that you made your life free. Fling me the secret in you meant for me. Lift me your hand, raise me your hand. I must find meaning in life's shifting sand. Slip me the blessing that turns like a key. Sounds from your soul that can help me be me. Laugh me your song, spin me your song.